Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the second day, Akav Zayin Bishvat, Tavshinayin Hey, Parshas Truma. The evening of the first day, Sunday, 15 February 2015. Webcasting from the focus of world attention. You all know how I have said that I am not an Israeli, because unlike real Israelis, I'm not at all bothered by the cold shoulder Israel is given in the Council of Nations, a.k.a. the United Nations. Israel is the only member state among 193 that never can sit on the UN's highest body, the Security Council. Israelis, especially the enlightened, are forever bemoaning this and believe with Buji and Tzipi this is because Israel refuses to stop oppressing the ancient Palestinian nation. Yours truly, on the other hand, grins from ear to ear when I think of this. I find it a breathtaking realization of a prophecy made over 3,000 years ago. Is there any other nation on earth that has a national record from 3,000 years ago, let alone a prophecy in that record, in this case in the Book of Numbers, which came true in our time? Said the Gentile prophet Bilam, "You will be a people that dwells alone and not be counted among the nations." I feel about that verse as I do about the prophecy in a verse in the last volume, Deuteronomy, that talks of a time when the Jews will irritate Hashem with a non-god and be paid back in kind with a non-people, a vile nation. I spent many years, many hours researching my book about a phantom nation of terrorists, which, first of all, is a record. It's an archive of a time in Jewish history. I did the research before I came upon that verse, which says, quote, "They provoked me, capital M, with a non-god, angered me with their vanity, so I shall provoke them with a non-people, a vile nation shall I anger them," close quote. I also don't care that the UN so abuses Israel. I don't need their love. To me, their hostility is only more evidence of the truth of Torah. The ruling cultural elite here does pine for acceptance in the halls of the UN, but I know that organization from the inside to be a cesspool of corruption and irresponsible bureaucrats infected in every one of its departments and agencies with age-old, irrational, delusional Jew hatred. That some peoples don't like us these days? So what? The Swedes? They're committing national suicide in their embrace of Muslims, so of course they're hostile to us. Islam is a most malignant form of Jew hatred, and the Swedes know that at some level of awareness. The Gatestone Institute posted yesterday on Sweden as the rape capital of the West now. In 1975, there were 421 rapes reported by the Swedish police. Last year, the tally was 6,620, an increase of 1,472%. And mentioned as well was something that I was unaware of. In 1975, a decision was taken in Sweden to go multicultural. And that's when they began to open the floodgates to Muslims. And today, they are living with the consequences. It has become the rape capital of the West, which makes perfect sense to me. I believe in the rotten root of Hamitic society to be a seriously screwed up one in the matter of sexuality, the relations between the sexes and within the sexes. There's an organic connection, I think, between so much of what is wrong in Araby and its still ancient practice of polygamy. And I found it here also as well interesting, coincidental, that in 1975, and that was also the year Zionism was declared at the UN to be a form of racism. It's interesting, the connections between Swedes and other post-Christian European nations committing demographic suicide these days, and their hostility to Israel as a people that continues to live and hang together. Now I have a better understanding of what an old ex-English Gentile friend was getting at when he explained to me some years ago that anti-Semitism in England was a result of the irritation people feel at Jews because they stick together. And now I understand that sticking together is what we do in order to stay alive as a people. Human history is very much a series of peoples that come into the world, live out their destiny, and then leave the world, but not the Jews. So hating our survival is also hating the truth of our religion, that Hashem exists and wants man to behave himself better than he does. We are his messengers, and our presence is evidence of his truth that people don't want to hear. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve rebelled against the first negative commandment, and people have been rebelling ever since. And now we are faced, as we always have been, by the sons of Ishmael and his spiritual seed, the Muslims, who remain mired in the same mental universe they were trapped in thousands of years ago. Memory.org posted on Friday an item entitled, quote, Syrian commentator Hussam Shoaib, Zionists burned Jordan Pilate, just like they make Passover matzah with blood, close quote. Yeah, this Levantine commentator was speaking on Al-Manar TV in Lebanon, that's the Hezbollah TV, and said that the immolation of that Jordanian pilot was, quote, a clear demonstration of the barbarity of the Zionist entity. In the past, they used to make Passover matzah with human blood and eat them. This is exactly what is happening in Syria today for the whole world to see, close quote. Yeah, the Zionists were behind the burning of that Jordanian pilot. With leaders and thinkers like this, Israel is supposed to go into partnership and make a deal. Make a nice deal, pleasing to such men as this. And if we don't, well, what we get are, Jews shopping for Shabbos getting massacred. And now a Jew shot dead at a bas mitzvah celebration in Copenhagen. This was the implicit message of France's initial rejection of Netanyahu's request for an invitation to Charlie Hebdo march. That march was about freedom of expression in the press, so precious to France and other liberal democracies. But as for those four dead Jews, well, that's kind of understandable, you know, because the Jews did steal Palestine from the Palestinians and continue to act as their colonial oppressors. Maybe you saw today's item on B'Tselem's report on last summer's missile aggression against us and our self-defense. Rather, the larger item was on Roger Waters and hundreds of British artists now boycotting Israel, and citing B'Tselem's report as justification for the boycott. They say the boycott will be lifted only when, quote, Israel must respects international law and ends its colonial oppression of the Palestinians, close quote. Our colonial oppression of the Palestinians. Not only is there absolutely nothing Palestinian about these self-proclaimed Palestinians, there's no colonial oppression here. Whoever wrote this text knows nothing of colonialism. Colonies were far-flung possessions of a mother country whose principal purpose was to send back materials to the homeland. This tiny country that we captured in 1967, Judea and Samaria, has no raw materials. Jimmy Carter and other Jew haters, with a screw loose, call the post-67 communities colonies, when they're nothing but bedroom communities that were built on barren hillsides, displacing no imaginary Palestinian and Tory Palestinians. That describes, I think, the above commentary by that Syrian commentator, apparently thought well enough in his country to be asked to comment on the passing scene. And he says that poor Jordanian pilot was burnt to death by al-Yahud to make Arabs and Muslims look bad. Yeah, this is the enemy that we face, whose demands are bad. The demands they make of us are inhuman. They dehumanize us. If not in the same way as the Nazis did, but they do. They demand that we respond to Arab demands and retreat from the high ground, turn it over to them, turn 500,000 Jews into homeless refugees inside their own tiny country, and then trust the Arabians after this to become good neighbors. They'll stop being monsters who decapitate Jews praying in a synagogue. They'll become nice neighbors who'll only want to live next door to peace. These neighbors of ours jump for joy on 9/11, but we're supposed to pay no mind to that.
ישנו צער שם מרכבת אור בלב אדם כל שנייה היא תחנה עליה על מרכבות האור אל אותו מקור מסתור אתה תפסע המסע וכל מילה שבו אתה כתבת זה סיפור חייך אל תשכח ובלבך נמצאת הדרך אין מקום אחר אז אל תברח וכשאתה
Yes, our immediate neighbors here, like that analyst on Hezbollah TV, are playing with a very different deck of intellectual cards, and over these last 6 years, they have been encouraged by a Muslim brother, in both senses of the term, in the White House. Maybe you saw today the item about John Boehner confessing that his invitation to Bibi was less than transparent, because everybody knows Obama doesn't like Bibi, and he had a do something to get around that. And then there's the version that Caroline Glick reported on Friday, that there was no violation of protocol, no rudeness on Bibi's part, but that is the accusation shot out of the White House in order to smear the Jewish people's current champion. But more important, on reflection over Shabbat and influenced by Glick's unusually good column. Obama's reference last week to the murdered Jews as just random people deserves more thought. I see now here a variation on a theme. This was just Obama pulling another Fort Hood, as he denied a denial of almost psychotic magnitude then by insisting there was just a workplace violence. So the slaughter in the Hebrew Kasher was likewise not what it appeared to be. Fort Hood appeared to be a Muslim madman massacring people for his evil religion, which Obama insisted had nothing to do with Islam. So those four dead Jews were not four dead Jews murdered for being Jews, just random folks, was his term. And I say, and not for the first time, serious members of Congress who care about the country must seriously look into the possibility of finding respectable and licensed board-certified psychiatrists to declare this man unfit for service and have him removed from office on those grounds. I mean, this is just intolerable, that the fate of the United States of America, the fate of the free world that America should be leading, the fate of Israel in the hands of this less-than-compos mentis man. Which is why it has been encouraging that such as Elie Wiesel and Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard and Steve Forbes and Mike Huckabee are all behind Bibi, 100% speaking to Congress, for they see the issue is not only about Israel, but bigger than Israel. Obama is a threat to the United States. This character has let in thousands and thousands of third world people, not coming for the American way of life, but their own, and who knows how many Muslims are among them. I've heard there have been tens, even scores of thousands, being given visas. Forbes is not the first to see in Bibi the Churchill of our times, who must, Forbes wrote, speak before Congress. The Iranians now have a missile capable of targeting not only Israel, but all of Europe. And the current talks say nothing of this growing missile technology. Forbes wrote his most dramatic sentence thus, quote, "The destruction of Israel would mean, ultimately, the end of Western civilization. The moral rot that would permit such an event would be just about impossible to surmount," close quote. In truth, yours truly has followed these talks with, so to speak, only one eye, and thus I'm no expert on their technical side, but, you know, how many centrifuges they should have and what percentage enrichment they should be permitted to enrich. What bothers yours truly most are less the technical issues than the very fact that these talks are held at all. Iran declared war on the U.S. in 1979 and since then has committed numerous acts of war. The entire enterprise rests on the proposition that Iran is a reliable partner for any terms that are written on paper that they will sign off on. This is a regime threatening Western civilization, as Steve Forbes wrote, and as such, people have to stand up and defeat it, defang it, cripple and prevent it from advancing its nefarious imperialist dreams of enveloping the entire planet with their barbaric religion. Forbes called Obama's policy, quote, "a dangerous course of abject appeasement of an evil regime," close quote. Indeed. As evil as Nazi Germany and communist Russia, which, like them, is intoxicated with Jew hatred. What is interesting, too, in the phenomenon called Barack Hussein Obama and his presidency is the influence he has had on otherwise sober individuals like his spokesman, Josh Earnest, and the State Department spokeswoman, Jen Psaki, who were forced to support Obama's description of the Hebrew Kasher massacre as perpetrated against people who had no common background or nationality. And they did this after it was common knowledge before the whole world that the murderer spoke on the phone as he held his terrified hostages before murdering them, saying he had chosen the place because it was Jewish. Where is Jimmy Stewart, Mr. Deeds Goes to Washington? Where is the hero who will stand up and declare not that the emperor has no clothes, but that the emperor is not playing with a full deck? This man's behavior really tracks with a radio interview I heard some years ago with a woman in Hawaii who claims to have run in similar social circles in high school with Barry Sotero. And she said that she, and apparently others, were always telling him to stop telling stories. He was always telling stories that were never true. It is, in a way, a very Muslim behavior to do this, make up stories to strengthen oneself and get what one wants in life. That's accepted behavior. You can do that. Lying is how Arab Muslims get through the day. As they feel no obligation to history, as it was, they say whatever they want. They say the ancient Palestinians are the real owners and the Holocaust never happened. And they do this because their Quran allows this behavior. Listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, what the world needs now is just the opposite of Obama's denial of the truth that Islam, his beloved religion, is a menace to the human race. What is so wrong in the thinking of the West, even among the best of people, is the vocabulary words of Islamism and Islamist and radical Islam. No, the first three are inventions of the non-Islamic West, and the and Islam on display and all its gruesome and grisly behaviors is the real Islam, the true root of Islam. Radical comes from the Latin word radix for root, and that so-called radical Islam is not out there on the fringes of society, but is in the center. This is why the Muslim Brotherhood won the elections in Egypt after Mubarak was overthrown. left to their own devices in an honestly conducted election, most Egyptians did vote for the Brotherhood because they don't know any better. Half of them are illiterate, uneducated, swept along by history with no understanding of life and society. Most of the Arabs here in Eretz Yisrael in 2006 voted for Hamas, which is also the Brotherhood. Islam is intrinsically a totalitarian ideology like Nazism, fascism, communism that brooks no opposition. To disagree with the regime is to risk being put to death. It was reported shortly after the burning of that Jordanian pilot by ISIS that a mullah in ISIS objected to the decision to burn him and was sacked from his position in the organization, and he may now himself be put on trial, convicted, and executed. And this was the behavior and the thinking of Robespierre in 1793 during the terror of the French Revolution, who sent opponent after opponent to the guillotine for not possessing the right amount and quality of revolutionary virtu. To oppose the regime was to be convicted of criminal sedition in one's thoughts. And here's this Muslim cleric within ISIS, himself threatened with execution, and who knows, maybe by fire as well, for his rebellion. And if Ali Sina is correct, this was how it was in Muhammad's day. This was the regime of Muhammad, who was as capricious and as cruel as Saddam Hussein, as Muammar Gaddafi, and legions of other Muslim fanatics, as they appear in Western eyes. But they're not fanatics. They're not extremists. That implies that there is a moderate center, a less violent form of the religion. No, there's a less active segment of believers, the great mass, passive, resigned to life's suffering, who lack the drive to lead a Muslim crusade, but that does not make them moderate, just lethargic. I've commented before on how in the Judeo-Christian West, the last people in society to rouse the rabble to war are the clergy, the Protestant ministers, the Catholic priests, and the rabbis, versus the universe of Islam in which the great rabble-rousers are the clergy. In a way, it's a kind of reverse looking-glass universe, and the West has to wake up from the false fantasy of the three great Abrahamic religions, the three great monotheistic faiths, as if they were all equal. They're not all equal. Islam is so different. It's a fool's game thinking that multiculturalism is possible, meaning the living in one society in which Islam is just another religion like the others. No, it's not. This afternoon, the AP reported that in Germany, the town of Braunschweig, a planned carnival parade today had to be canceled because the police and other agencies feared violence at the parade. Thus do the Muslims invade and wreck our lives, disrupt them. Billions of air passengers have for decades now, and especially after 9/11, been inconvenienced by security checks thanks to Muslims acting on their Muslim belief in the holiness of massacring people. The AP also reported that last month Germany's biggest carnival in Cologne, one of the floats there was banned because it was a salute to the Charlie Hebdo victims. The design was chosen in an online vote, and it showed a man dressed in black with an explosives belt on him, wielding a gun and a gesture inserting a pencil into the barrel. The carnival organizers evidently were pleased to salute free speech and freedom of the press, but local security agencies nixed the float. And thus do the forces of darkness, the darkness of Islam, which may be the darkness of the ninth plague, exercise power over lovers of freedom and liberty. Okay, that's it for this first night of the week, Sunday night. I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'aretz Yisrael.